Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
He'll come back for two. And Australia win the World Cup for the sixth time. And in front of 120,000 people, they've upstaged the home team in magnificent fashion. And the party begins.
Welcome to the Unplayable Podcast, very special edition. Australia have won the World Cup. Can you believe it? They've beaten India by 6 wickets in a resounding victory here today at Narendra Modi Stadium. My name is Josh Schoenfinger. I'm joined, of course, by Louis Cameron. We both experienced a pretty incredible result today, Lou.
I can't believe I'm here, Josh. Look, I'll come clean. I didn't think the Aussies would win this tournament. I'm not sure if they could win this tournament up until maybe about the time Pat Cummins got Virat Kohli out, and I thought, yeah, maybe they're a chance. And then when Head and Marnus broke the back of that partnership or the run chase, I was like, right, they're going to win the World Cup. This team that lost their first two games are going to beat India on their home turf, who haven't looked like winning all tournament. It's crazy. We'll try to put it into context. We probably won't quite do it justice, but why don't we do our best, Josh?
We'll give it our best shot. Pat Cummins surprised a few at the toss today when he chose to bowl first in pretty hot conditions here in Ahmedabad, as it always generally is. And they got off to a flying start in India. Rohit Sharma was particularly impressive in the power play. But there was an early wicket as Shubman Gill fell to Mitch Stark. And then we just thought, well, maybe if Gill can go cheaply, maybe the rest can as well. And while they didn't all fall cheaply, Rohit got 47 and Kohli got 54. There were, you know, regular wickets for Australia, which we haven't seen against India for the whole tournament. Travis Head took a spectacular catch to dismiss the Indian captain, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, at length. But it was a stifling performance from the Aussie bowlers. Stark got 3 for 55. Cummins didn't concede a boundary, 2 for 34 from his 10. And Adam Zampa was very good again, 1 for 44 from his 10. In the end, they were all out off the last ball of the innings for 240. And we thought, gee, maybe it's about a 50-50 game. Not quite sure which way it was going to go. And when Shami and Bumrah got that new ball talking, Australia fell to 3 for 47, and we thought, oh, you know, things could go either way here. But Travis Head, 137, combined with Marnus Labuschagne, a very patient 58, not out for a 192-run partnership, got them home with 7 overs to spare, can you believe? And in the end, it was a pretty convincing victory, Lou.
It was convincing in the end, a comfortable one, you'd even say. I mean, where do we start? Like, I think you almost have to go to like a century level of like us. I mean, even Pat Cummins said at the press conference that when he saw the amount of people waiting outside the ground today, even he got a little bit nervous. And this guy is like Captain Calm, right? Captain Composed. I don't think I've ever heard him say, I was nervous. So let's hear what Pat Cummins had to say about the experience of coming into the ground this morning.
I always like to say I'm pretty relaxed, but I was a little bit nervous this morning. You know, just pacing around, waiting for it to kind of get started. Just seeing the sea of blue in the hotel, getting nearer the ground and just seeing the sea of blue walking, making its way to the ground, all the cars parked with their selfie cameras out. You knew you were walking into something pretty special. And then to walk out, you know, for the toss and just see 130,000 blue Indian shirts, it's, you know, an experience you'll never forget. So awesome day, and I mean, the good thing was they weren't too noisy for most of it.
And, you know, he was admitting that in the aftergo of the win, but we felt the same thing, didn't we, Josh, kind of riding out the back of the team bus. We were lucky enough to be in the convoy to kind of skip the traffic on the way to the ground. And it was crazy, like just blue jerseys everywhere. And, you know, people were friendly and happy to see the Australians, but that's because the Australians were the team that they were going to beat today. It was supposed to be India's coronation. And it didn't, you know, the Australians ruined their night. I mean, people were I have to bring this back to a footy thing because we're from Melbourne and that's what we do. I was at Collingwood's preliminary final against GWS, and my cousin plays for GWS. We were the only, my family, about a dozen of us, the only GWS fans in the entire stadium. I think that's what it would have felt like to be an Australian in Narendra Modi Stadium today.
And there were a smattering of Aussie fans, and they got plenty of airtime as well, didn't they? And they were the last ones here because with a few overs to go, when it looked like the result was beyond doubt, there were droves of blue shirts leaving the stands, which I'm sure would have brought a lot of delight to the Aussies, who said earlier in the week that they wanted to silence this crowd, and they did it on several occasions.
It was crazy to hear a crowd this loud, silent. And we're not just rubbing this in Indian fans. I know you're not going to be feeling the way that you thought you'd be feeling today. We're not rubbing it in, but it was more just like the, I've never seen a more one-sided crowd, a crowd that's all wearing one colour. Like, everyone seems to be wearing the exact same blue jerseys that they tried to sell us on the way in the last couple of days, these kind of knock-off jerseys. Pretty much all of them had Virat or Rohit on the back. I mean, in terms of putting this into context, like, it's not the unlikeliest. So Australia have won 6 men's ODI titles.
Incredible.
There's a lot of competition for unlikely titles. I think that probably still goes to the 1987 team, which was Australia's first ever World Cup winners. Alan Border led a team that was ranked 16-1 outsiders at the start of the tournament. Don't think you could have got as good of odds on Australia before this tournament. And even 1999, where they had to go undefeated through the tournament, when Australia lost their first 2 games to South Africa and India, they didn't have to go undefeated. It certainly helped that they did. But in terms of the most unlikely, the most unexpected result, I think that final took the cake.
So, yeah, as I mentioned, India flew out of the blocks. Even though Shubman Gill fell early to Mitchell Stark, Rohit and Virat, they got on their bike and they ended up hitting 80 runs in the power play and making the batting look very easy. But it was the catch to get Rohit Sharma out, I think Travis said, that really turned the game and made the Aussies believe. It was sort of a sky ball off Glenn Maxwell. Rohit tried to hit it straight down the ground and it skewed off the side of the bat. Head was fielding it, would we say cover or somewhere like that. So he started in the circle. He's had to run backwards and dive back over his head. And a miraculous catch, and even Travis Head wasn't quite sure he was going to make it. This is what he had to say afterwards.
I tried to do everything I can. It was an important wicket. I didn't think I was going to get there at first. I think the ball sort of started to spin back to me a little bit, and then, one of those things held onto it. Thank God I did.
So kind of one or two turning points in that Australian bowling innings the first one was obviously Travis Head taking that catch that he just talked about. The second one was Pat Cummins getting Virat Kohli out.
Oh, huge.
I mean, and I asked him at the, look, we've thrown to the press conference a few times already, but his answer was great. Here's what Pat had to say about it.
Just on today's game, when you got Virat out, is that about as sweet a moment as you've had on a cricket field?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, we did take a second in the huddle just to acknowledge the silence that was going around the crowd. It just felt like it was one of those days where it was all made for him to score another 100 like he normally does. And yeah, that was satisfying.
And the look that Kohli gave the pitch after he went out, like, that was the telling bit for me. Like, and he does do that a lot. Like, Virat's never out, and we can give the mickey out of him a bit, but that what makes him such an amazing batter. I think I was just having a look at the stats when I was writing the report before. 9 scores of more than 50 in this tournament.
That's right.
Only 2 less than 50. That's incredible. This guy is just on another level when it comes to ODI batting. So to get him for 54 off 63 was just such a big moment. It heaped all the pressure onto KL Rahul. Kohli and Rahul were the two guys Australia wanted to be batting together. So they're the only two guys with strike rates below 100 for India in this tournament.
That's phenomenal.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's a testament to how good India's tournament has been. And they had to bat a long time together. Pat Cummins used 7 different bowlers over the course of 8 overs, I think it was, just to try and mix things up. Eventually it kind of worked with, Kohli chopping on.
The other remarkable stat there is between overs 11 and 40, what we call the middle overs, India only hit 2 boundaries, which is just, I find, that's for such an attacking team, as you said, everyone's striking over 100, only 2 boundaries in 30 overs. Australia will be absolutely wrapped with that.
And they just went into their shells a little bit, didn't they? Like, and I mean, credit to Pat Cummins going back to the toss. He gave Australia best use of the conditions, mm-hmm. and it didn't matter that Pat won the toss. Like, it makes it a better story that he did because that's how it played out. But Rohit said at the toss he was going to bat. Mm. So it really a triumph of kind of strategic thinking and how they've thought their way through this. These are conditions tailor-made for India, you know, whether or not the pitch is created for their circumstances. And we know the, you know, the ins and outs of the pitch controversy. You know, we don't have to go into all the detail of that, but these are their home conditions. These are the ones they should be most comfortable in, and Australia beat them in it. I think that's probably why it's so sweet for them. But kind of sticking to that first inning, so I mean, they've only just kind of got their way to 240, the first time they've been bowled out all tournament. And you know, when Australia started their innings, they're thinking, right, this is, you know, on for, this is on for us here, the dew's going to set in later. But their start of the innings didn't quite pan out the way they expected it to, did it?
Well, yeah, as we mentioned off the top, it was an absolute fast bowling display, or a clinic, let's call it, from Jasprit Bumrah and Mohammad Shami. Shami was throwing the new ball for the first time this tournament, which I found surprisingly, relegating Siraj to the older ball. He was actually the fifth bowler used, so that really nullified his effectiveness. He's obviously best off the top, and today he just wasn't effective because he didn't have the new ball. And Lou, I'm sure you would have enjoyed Shami and Bumrah's opening spell there. They drew plenty of plays and misses, got the crowd up and about, and yeah, had Australia 3 for 47 with the wickets of Warner for 7, Marsh for 15, and then Steve Smith for 4. At that point, it was looking pretty dicey.
So the impressive part there is, yeah, 40 off the first four overs. They lost Warner, but I think their license is to keep going even if they lose that early wicket, because they've got the, you know, the third opener, if you like, in Mitch Marsh.
Yep.
And they wanted to keep going, and that's what Head and Marsh tried to do. When Marsh got out and then Steve Smith only lasted 9 balls, Travis Head basically suggested that maybe he shouldn't review one that he thought had, was going on to hit the stumps and that it hit him in line. Replays replay showed that he probably should have reviewed it, but all of a sudden it's like, you know, all this pressure on Head and Manus Labuschagne kind of coming together, and Head had to play a different way, didn't he?
Well, yeah. Well, initially he had to sort of go into his shell, which is unusual for Head, but he did take his time. And I think at one point he was about 15 off 30. Very, very slow for Head, but it worked. And he was able to catch up at the back end of the innings. Labuschagne, for his entire innings, he was 58 not out off 110 balls. He never felt the pressure to up the tempo, and it showed because they both knew that Head was able to cash in. Ended up reaching his 100 off 95 balls, finished with 4 sixes and 15 fours. And there were some spectacular hits, including a big one off Ravindra Jadeja, who has just absolutely terrorised Australia in the past. So to get him away for no wickets from his 10 overs, I mean, that would have been one of the boxes they had to tick today, and they did as well.
0 wickets in 20 overs of spin for India. I mean, the Australians were wary of the spinners. They were wary of the pitch. And to get them away for 43 and 56, what does that make? 99 from 20 overs. None for 99 for 20 overs for their spinners. Super impressive. I mean, the fact that it was Head and Manus who did the match-winning partnership, I mean, it's just an amazing, two amazing stories of this World Cup. I loved when Head got out trying to hit the winning runs with the six. He was walking off the ground, and Manus, you know, obviously wanted to have that embrace with him. It would have been fitting if it was those two out there at the end. He just embraced him anyway. Like, he kind of ran after Head and just hugged him because he wanted that moment. And so, yeah, so Travis Head, I mean, he's basically the most valuable player they've had in the tournament in the end. I mean, player of the match in the semi-final with crucial wickets, as well as, you know, a really important top order knock. And then, you know, what he did tonight was pretty special. This was a guy who wasn't in India to start this tournament. He was watching from his couch in Adelaide because he had a broken hand. Then you got Manus, on the other hand, who wasn't in a 18-man squad for this tournament when they first picked a kind of group to come here. And just a series of kind of miracle freak things. I mean, we spoke to Manus. He put it down to his faith. You'll be able to read a story on cricket.com.au on Monday morning about that. And, you know, that he just kind of thinks that, you know, a guy, someone down, was looking down on him from above. And that's what's kind of got him into this team at the back end of the tournament. 58 not out in a World Cup final. He was the man there at the end.
And as well as the almighty, I mean, a lot of credit has to go to the selectors, of course, for those two decisions in particular. I mean, a big gamble to bring only 14 fit players to the World Cup to begin with. And also Labuschagne, I mean, a lot of doubts over his ODI credentials. People said he batted too slow or didn't have the ability to knock it up a tempo. They said he couldn't play in the same team as Steve Smith. But he's proved them all wrong, and he's scored, you know, a very patient, very composed knock today, and that was exactly what the conditions required from him.
Yeah, I couldn't have put it better myself, mate, yeah. And look, when you kind of all boils down to it, like, Australia's big game experience, I think, really showed. Like, Marnus and Head might actually be the exceptions because they haven't played. I reckon out of the entire 11, they're probably the two guys, maybe Josh Inglis would be the other one, who haven't played in a World Cup final when you think about 2015 ODI, 2021 T20. Yep. I think it's eight of the same team from the 2021 World Cup final. Yeah, might be those three who actually didn't play, Inglis, Head and Marnus. And it showed. I mean, India, just like in crucial moments, just kind of froze up. They looked like they hadn't been there before. I mean, you know, their best batter today, I know KL Rahul outscored him, but Kohli has been in, you know, one of those big games, and he was their kind of best player. And so you look at this generation of players as well. I mean, Test and ODI champions as captain for Pat Cummins. I mean, well, we can touch on him in a minute in terms of just what a great day and what a, you know, pretty good year he's had. But then Warner, Smith, Hazelwood, Cummins, of course, and Stark, all three format champions. They played in one-day World Cups, some of them two, T20 World Cup win in 2021 and the Test World Championship final earlier this year. We should mention that Travis Head also made 100 in that game. So, really remarkable achievements for this group.
So Cummins is captain the ODI team, the Test team. Maybe is he going to go for the trifecta and try and captain the T20 team at next year's T20 World Cup?
You would have to say that if he wants to do that now, it's surely that's his job.
Yeah.
Like the, I know they didn't get the win in the Test series in India earlier this year, but a 1-2 series result where, you know, he had to leave, you know, due to some unfortunate personal circumstances. You know, they didn't disgrace themselves in that series by any stretch. And the Ashes the same, you know, fell short of what they would have wanted, you know, really fell short of expectations, I suppose, when you think about that, were 2-0 up in the series and then, you know, nearly lost it if it wasn't for Manchester rain. That's probably out of the four marquee events they've had this year, that's probably the one they're going, oh, you know, we really let that one slip. But, you know, he's just his leadership today, like the toss thing, like I know he's getting backgrounded from, you know, coaches, analysts about what the best thing to do today might be, but he's still the one who's got to go out there and make the call, and he's the one who's got to live with it. Like, we know what Ricky Ponting did at, in Edgbaston in 2005, and he still gets crap about it now. I know what Nasser Hussain did at the Gabba in 06-07 when he bowled first.
Even Ganguly in the 2003 World Cup final chose to bowl and they got hammered.
Everyone remembers that. They don't ever remember the analyst or the coach who thought it'd be a good idea to bowl. They remember the guy who made the call at the toss. So Pat Cummins, you know, put his reputation on the line there, and he just bowled like a dream today. Like, I think Marnus Labuschagne said something about how that his sequencing of balls in the middle overs was the best he'd ever seen. You had the really good stat that he didn't concede a boundary. The big wicket of Kohli. Some of his batting in this tournament, if you take it back a little bit further, has been, you know, just really clutch. The guys had a really good run.
It's been a spectacular day. Do we have a moment of the day to encapsulate this incredible achievement by the Aussie team?
There's a moment we haven't mentioned, so I wouldn't say it's a moment of the day. I mean, Pitch Invader got out there today.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, he got a really long way out of the field. That's probably not good enough from ground stuff, let's be honest. I mean, it's not quite as big as the Kolkata fence around this ground, but somehow this guy got on. He had a pro-Palestine T-shirt on. He basically kind of embraced Kohli, and Kohli didn't entirely push him away, which I kind of thought that was very, you know, serene of him. And eventually, I think it was a guy in an India team uniform. Maybe he was their security guy. He was the first guy to kind of get out there. And there was actually a liaison guy from the Aussie team as well who got out there pretty quick. So that was a big moment. But, I mean, the wicket of Kohli, I think that was probably the moment of the day if you had to pick one.
I actually saw a funny tweet after that Pitch Invader saying that David Warner was patrolling the boundary with more regard than the security team here. And we do need to give a word to the fielding effort today from Australia. I thought they were absolutely outstanding. We did give them stick earlier in the tournament for really, really poor efforts by their standards, lofty standards in the opening two games. And they have responded. They've picked it up. The semi-final effort in the infield was outstanding. Here all over the ground was terrific again. And fielding goes a long way to winning matches, doesn't it? I mean, you save a lot of runs and you create a lot of chances.
Well, that man David Warner, probably none more so. Like, he at 37 is probably the best outfielder in this team. Maybe in the tournament, yeah. I mean, the one thing that lets him down a bit is his shoulder's not quite what it used to be, but he kind of has a way of getting the ball off so quickly that it doesn't matter. Like, I often see him throw and it's like, oh, it's not as powerful as what it once was, but he just gets the ball off so quickly that no one ever runs to him. He's a marvel. Like, the fitness levels of that guy, just absolute credit to his professionalism.
Labuschagne, Smith, Head as well today. The list goes on. They were all fantastic. We were able actually to catch up with a few of the players after the win, when they were basking in the glory of that team shot with the confetti and all that sort of stuff. So let's just run through a few of the players, and this is their initial reactions to winning the 2023 ODI World Cup.
Yeah, pretty special. Playing India at home, beating it at home. On their conditions, after 0-2 start, 0-2 in none for 120 was a long time ago. That was a long time ago. Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Obviously not playing, we could enjoy the game. So
I think out of everything, it feels like emotionally it's number one. Just with defying the odds of being in India, defying conditions, injuries as a squad, what we've achieved, honestly, it has to be number one. The emotions, being out there when we finish the game, to seal the game. Trav played an unbelievable innings and it was so special. So, it's number one for sure.
So that's us done for this tournament, Louis. It's been a whirlwind trip, heaps of different cities. But what a way to finish.
Yeah, and well done to you, Josh, for hosting it the whole way through. You've had a long stint. You were here for the three ODIs before this tournament started. You were there for the two practice games they played and, let's be honest, took the mickey out of it a little bit. They didn't really want to play them. And, you're still standing here in corporate box number two on the north side of Narendra Modi Stadium with water bottles all over the ground and
sticky floors,
and someone's going to have to come in and clean up the mess of 92,000 people tomorrow. I'm glad it's not us, Josh, because once I've finished a couple more hours of work, I'm ready to go to sleep.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us on this beautiful edition of the Unplayable Podcast, Australia World Cup champions. We hope you can join us again on the next episode.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.